We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
KC Laboratory, sponsored by Emprise Bank.
It's the KC Laboratory presented by Emprise Bank. Look, there's more options to do banking now more than ever. Who you work with is more important than how close they are to your house. Emprise has digital banking that meets you where you are, on your phone, on your computer, or even your smartwatch. They are a trusted partner at your fingertips. They are a trusted partner of KC Sports Network, the KCSN Draft Guy. They have been absolutely wonderful to work with. I promise you, if you work with them, you're going to have the same experience that I do. I am here with my dear pals hanging out. First, find them on Twitter at Maddie_KCSN. Matthew, are there more legs or are there more eyes in the world?
I love that he has to answer this.
You're muted, Matthew.
This is why we're a professional podcast. We're not going to get into this. There are more wheels than doors in the world. Anybody who doesn't use the front left burner more than the rest of their stovetop burners is uncivilized.
Listen, we don't need to take, you know, subtle inside, you know, shots at Craig here. So, I mean, listen, we got into the legs versus eyes thing. It's clearly legs. I can explain it to you. If you're not in the KCSN Discord, I did it there. It is clearly legs. But
it is, you know, legs. No, that's the correct, it, the correct legs. Answer is legs.
It is. But you know what has legs? Chiefs rookie minicamp has legs.
No, we can't go there yet. We can't go there.
And
yet.
Eyes.
We can't.
They have eyes too.
They do have eyes. We can't go there yet, though. We got something else we have to discuss. We haven't done it yet.
Okay.
The 2022 Chiefs draft has occurred, and there is a clear winner. Kent, do you care to tell everybody who the winner is?
Not really.
Okay, it is yours truly, the OG winner, the original winner. The title has come home. The throne has returned to North Carolina. I have won. And Kent, what's that thing you always say about nobody's won with two picks? I have the most picks in the history. Well, buddy, I got some bad news for you. And let me also add, not only did I take the lead, Craig got on the board.
And he got on the board!
New addition to the KCSN draft team, Zach Hicks, who is an Indianapolis Colts writer, and also I believe was at one point in time a fan of the Washington Commanders now. He got on the board in his first year with the KCSN draft guide. And Kent, did you score any points, Kent? I'm looking. I don't see any names highlighted.
I hate that you brought up that Zach got on the board in year one, and it took me 4 years to finally get on the board.
The results. Zach got on the board with Jalen Watson, cornerback out of Washington State, taken in round 7. Craig got on the board with my guy, Joshua Williams, cornerback out of Fayetteville State, taken in round 4. I got on the board twice, two time, just like I'm the two-time champion of this game. I got on the board two times with George Karloftis in round 1 and Sky Moore in round 2. In case anyone's keeping tally, that's Maddie with 3 total correct picks since we've been doing this. Kent with 2, Craig with 1.
I would have taken George Karloftis if I had gotten to pick before. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just going to say. You sniped my first round pick.
That's
I snapped Maddie's first round pick with Joshua Williams.
Yeah, you did.
No, I was going to call off this. I had a plan. I had something I was doing. I did it, and we nailed it. We got a slot receiver-ish, and then we got the defensive end. Exactly what I was gunning for. We need to move on to the rookie minicamp, though. Like, this is good. We got the rookies that I won the game with. We got two more guys that were guessed correctly by the KCSN draft guide team, and they were all at the rookie minicamp this past weekend.
Why, yes, they were, Matthew. And we were able to get a lot of quotes, a lot of comments from, you know, about every draft pick and some extra guys, some undrafted free agents that we'll probably spend a little bit of time talking about here as well. But just overall impressions, was there, like, off the top, Matthew, anybody that really impressed you getting to hear from them over this week?
I think Trent McDuffie, it's not, I guess, fun to start with the very first pick, but it kind of is. You listen to him talk, and I think there was clearly like just another level of a guy that gets it, I think is the best way to say it. Like, you just listen to him talk and you hear a guy that sounds and comes across very intelligent, both in life, but also on the football field. As it relates to football, he understands kind of where he's at, what he's got to try to do, what there's going to ask of him, how to work properly as a rookie. He just seems to really get it. But then he's also very engaging with not only the people asking the questions, but with the questions themselves. And I think that usually portrays when it comes across as that way, when you seem to understand the question in real time and you can respond to it, be personable, but also relate it back to football very well. I think that's kind of just a good sign of a guy that, again, just kind of gets it. So I think Trent McDuffie really stood out to me in just like his ability to probably pick things up pretty quick, get on the field, start to make plays. You kind of hear Andy Reid talk about him a little bit. You can tell Andy Reid likes the person and what he can do on the football field a little bit, but he's never going to share too much of that. So like, I was really impressed with the presser, but I was really impressed with the presser that Trent McDuffie put out there. We obviously don't get to see much, but I did like what I heard from him, and the fact that they are working him on the outside and inside, I think, is specifically emphasizing outside, I think, is something we all kind of wanted to hear.
A guy that I thought really impressed in his interview was Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheeks, for those who aren't up to date on it. Yeah. So, you know, a running back out of Rutgers gets to wear the number 10. Wearing this number 10, I know Maddie has a problem with that, but, you know, obviously you're going to get questions about Tyreek Hill wearing that number. And so soon, I feel like he handled all of those ridiculously well. You know, he's his own guy. I'm going to be my own guy. I'm going to show up. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do all this stuff. You know, he got praise for his pass blocking and, you know, picking up that sort of stuff already and talking about how he's, you know, basically been texting with Patrick Mahomes, you know, making sure that he's on the same page with him. That's all good stuff that you want to see out of a later round rookie, out of a guy that we liked a lot of, and he's got juice, but he's got to be on the same page to get on the field in those crucial passing down situations where he's going to be at his best. I feel like he showed up ready to work. I feel like he showed up ready to answer all of those questions that were going to come up about him and about what he can do. I thought that he was pretty impressive on the podium as well. I got high hopes for Pacheeks, but, you know, I feel like that he started off on a really good foot.
Listening to him, I was going to say, listening to him talk about blocking for Patrick Mahomes is a lot of fun. Oh. Like, the fact that comes across, again, like, we talked to him at the East-West Shrine game in Las Vegas, and he talked about blocking. Then one of his favorite plays was blocking a defensive back, a cat blitz on fourth down and pancaking a guy. To see him come across another interview and talk about it again, like, it's not lip service. It's not for fun. This is something that he does care about. So, like, just, it was cool to see him go into that specifically to protect, you know, Patrick Mahomes, talking about that kind of that feeling and what that would mean to him was really cool.
Yeah, he seemed very grounded, understood what his role is going to be and what's going to help him, you know, make this football team and be a real contributor. And I think another guy that I thought kind of had similar mentality in some of his comments on his press conference, Nazi Johnson, the 7th round pick out of Marshall. It seemed like a guy that had a good idea of, you know, what is going to be required of him to make this team, you know, being versatile, having a variety of skills, being able to showcase, you know, a diverse skill set, special teams. Like, it feels like he has a good grasp and a good understanding of what's required of him. And honestly, I think that's pretty big case across the board. Like, I feel like this entire draft class is coming in with a phenomenal mentality. you know, and obviously a little bit of it's a lip service. It can be lip service, but at the same time, nothing about what these guys have put on tape says that it's not true. You know, I think the tape backs up a lot of the commentary that these guys have put out there when it comes to, you know, when it comes to, you know, their roles, their assignments. I think they've all shown on tape that they are what they're saying. And so that's such an encouraging thing across the board. All 10 of them, I think, you know, have shown that in some way, shape, or form. So, those are some of the guys that I think, you know, that's interesting that, you know, we kind of all have our own perspectives there. We got some undrafted free agents, you know, too, that were able to get to the podium. Justin Ross got to the podium. You know, obviously a lot of people are really, really excited about him and his potential. And you want to know something, guys? I bet he sticks.
I bet he sticks. Justin Ross out of Clemson. We have seen the hype videos. Now, the Chiefs media is pushing these hype videos, the Twitter account, everything. We are seeing just about every route that he could possibly run out of Justin Ross. They clearly have high hopes for this kid. He's out there. He's really showing his ability. His health is a major thing, and he's showing that he's out there participating in every little bit. He could be an X receiver of the future. Guys, I bet Justin Ross sticks on this Kansas City Chiefs roster as a featured wide receiver. Maybe not this year, but next year for certain. I bet he sticks.
I think he could be an absolute steal in undrafted free agency, just like the clubs behind me are an absolute steal. Sticks golf clubs are a fantastic value. If you're like me, I'm loading these puppies up for a golf trip this weekend. I'm just telling you, I love playing with these things. Someone that has fallen in love with golf the last couple of years, you know, my golf journey needed something like Sticks golf clubs that were going to come in and help me have a better quality club I can be more confident in than one of the lower grade sets that I had when I first started. They've been absolutely wonderful. They've been very helpful to my game. If you're looking for a set of golf clubs, go to sticks.golf. Promo code KCSN10 will get you 10% off your set of clubs. Make sure you're taking advantage of that. Justin Ross, I bet he sticks. Maddie, like one of the things I think about with Justin Ross, is it him or Josh Gordon? Like that's something I'm actually having in my head. Like, and I'm not even sure I'm confident Justin Gordon's making this team either, if I'm being honest with you, but I don't think there's room for Josh Gordon and Justin Ross on this team.
You don't have space in this team for multiple other wide receivers to not play special teams, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, this is an assumption, that at least Juju Smith-Schuster isn't playing special teams. Mecole Hardman is only returning, so he's not going to be a gunner or a vice. I think you could probably convince Sky Moore as a rookie to maybe do it, but like then Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I feel like it's a little bit more of a wild card. I don't think he's
going
to play special teams.
I don't think he's going to.
I don't think so, but he's in that price range where you might be able to ask him to. Like, you might be able to, right? But like, you're getting a lot of guys now that are kind of at the point where your receivers kind of have to play special teams. Justin Ross isn't going to play special teams. You can't with that injury. Not just the neck injury, but the foot injury. Like, you can't ask him to go down and make tackles. You're not going to ask Josh Gordon to play special teams. Like, and maybe you could. Although I did hear he's up to like 240 pounds. Is he switching to tight end? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing at 241? That's like 20 pounds heavier than anybody has any business being a wide receiver. This is Treylon Burks weight in Arkansas here. Like, what are we doing here? I don't know. Those two guys kind of feel like they're battling out for a spot, but I wouldn't be completely amazed to see somebody with more special teams value beat out both of them, if I'm being brutally honest, because you gotta have guys that play special teams. Like, you have to. Now, I will say this. The Chiefs media team has invested a lot into Justin Ross clips.
Yep.
A lot. You watch all of their official, they release official Justin Ross stuff. You watch like their camp recap. He had more plays, more clips than anybody else there. That includes your first round pick, George Karloff, this year, first round trade up and Trent McDuffie, and like anybody else. Like, he had more clips. I'm not saying that says a lot, but it might say a little something on kind of where they are. You add that to Andy repeatedly saying he has no restrictions in terms of his health, which I think matters a lot. I don't know. There's some momentum, I think, building for him to make this roster this season. That special teams question is always going to be my holdup, though.
That's the thing. Like that, we just listed five guys that probably aren't playing gunner for this team. You know, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore might, you know, return kicks, have a little bit of ability there, but five players that aren't going to be gunners. Dave Tobe uses a lot of these guys as gunners. And I mean, like we evaluate these positions. We know that Tobe is going to get his guys on the roster. There are going to be a certain number of positions that he's just going to get. And frankly, Brett Veach is probably going to be a little more, you know, conducive to that this year. He said in his presser, you know, that they wanted to improve the floor with special teams. They got to have guys on the outside that can play gunner. So unless you're keeping all of these DBs, which that's a question mark as well, unless you're keeping all of these DBs, you got to have a wide receiver or two that can play teams. And now we're talking about so many guys that don't. So it is a bit of a confusing element of that, but Justin Ross is making this team, guys. I don't think that there's any two ways about it. I think that he's going to make this team. I think he's going to get better as the pads come on. I think his body type is very, you know, it is, not to reuse a word, conducive to, you know, putting the pads on, playing physical. You know, that's what he did in 2021 when he didn't have the same movement ability. He was able to play physical and still be effective. So if he's already showcasing some of the things that you would hope that you get out of him without pads on, you're going to put pads on, he's going to beat up some of those cornerbacks and he's going to be able to go up and make some plays. I think that he's going to win the job because I think he's one of those rare guys that when the pads come on and rookie mini camp's over, he actually might improve and take it a step further.
Well, and athletically, you got a little bit more time farther away from those injuries. We'll see what he looks like in July. I think that's going to be a big mile marker for him. I think what's interesting to me, guys, when it comes to the receiver room is, I mean, there's not a ton of receivers that have a ton of special teams chops on the roster right now.
Right.
Like at all. So it's at like, that's what's so fascinating. Cause I mean, Corey Coleman, no. Omar Bayless. I'd rather
Garrett Dieter, who was probably their best special teamer. That was, in the,
he wasn't in the a great special teamer either. No, cause he couldn't stick around best, long enough.
Yeah.
Like Omar, like, and that's why I'm kind of looking, you're going down the roster. If the Chiefs keep Omar Bayless for his special teams ability over Justin Ross, I'm going to be upset. Corey Coleman's not going to play special teams. Fountain.
How are you fixing that issue, right? Like, if you're in charge, how are you fixing that issue? Because the Chiefs, hold on.
That's Marcus Kemp's music.
that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
he's coming back, dude.
Chiefs fans, and this goes back a lot of years, especially with this particular team, have like this nightmare about the Chiefs wide receiver decisions. But like at some point in time, like you do have to field a special teams unit, right? This team is going to emphasize special teams. And right now you look at this, they lost so much special teams play, and especially at wide receiver, where are you getting it from, right? Like
Cornell Powell. Advantage Cornell Powell, I think. I think he's the guy with the best special teams chops right now.
Are you mad if he makes it over Justin Ross then?
Yes, I am, but at the
you
same
better
time,
be. If you're mad about Bayless making it for the special teams value over Cornell over Justin Ross, say, you better be if Cornell Powell does too.
I am, but what I will say is I don't think they're going to keep two special teams only guys because I think that they've tried to squeeze you know, they squeezed Darius Fountain onto the active roster and like he had no business being on the active roster. Like I'm sorry, I don't want to dash everybody's hopes, but like he's
right,
just
but we're
guy.
Talking about a unit that also lost DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle, who played DeMarcus Robinson backed off a little bit as his role grew, but guys that played special teams a lot. You got to replace those snaps somewhere. You can only put so many DBs out there over and over and over again, right? And like that's why I said maybe with a guy like Sky Moore, who we might not talk. I just talk on him briefly here. We'll take a little sidebar and go back to special teams. He didn't get to practice much at rookie camp. He was limited because of a mild hamstring strain. Your boy right here today, mild hamstring strain. I'm currently sitting with an ice pack on my hamstring too. So we're one in the same right now.
You and Sky. Oh, I've always said you guys are exactly the same.
One in the same right now, but he didn't get to practice much. I liked his interview. I think he came across as, again, like Trent McDuffie, he kind of seemed to get it a little bit, but he didn't get to practice. He's a guy that you might forced to play on special teams because somebody has to. Somebody in this wide receiver room has to, or you're going to get Dorice Fountain and Cornell Powell are going to make it over guys that we think have more receiving ability. Like, you have to fix that somewhere.
I think you can upgrade Dorice Fountain's special teams ability because he really was, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, he wasn't a factor in special teams in any real way when he was on the roster either. That's why he didn't make the team out at the beginning at on, or that's why he struggled, you know, to find the field or be active. It was like, he was the guy's like, why is he still on the active roster? I don't know.
So here, before we move off teams, real quick here, how many offensive players do you think are going to play teams? Because it's not going to be, you know, we're talking punt return, obviously not, you know,
Pacheco
or anything like that. I think Pacheco could, yes. He might be the only running back because is Clyde going to play teams? Probably not. Ronald Jones is definitely not playing teams. Mike Burton's playing teams. I don't know why I got ready to say
Mike Burton. Bell, Noah Gray all are, but not the same roles that we're not talking about for these other positions.
Right. Like, he's not a four core guy, you know? Correct. And so I think that the offense, you might be largely punting on their special teams contribution and saying,
I see what you did there.
Our defense is going to be taking care of the gunners. They're going to be taking care of a lot of this stuff. And they're just going to stack the room with maybe a whole bunch of young guys that have played a lot of teams. And I mean, they've drafted a lot of young guys. There's a lot of young guys on the roster, but that might be something to consider when you're mapping out your 53 here and you're looking at the cornerback room, linebacker room. You know, you might have to add a couple more to that just for teams because the offensive side of the football isn't going to contribute in the same way that it has in the past.
Well, there's a linebacker that I think could be a very strong special teams player, make this roster, and potentially be a contributor on the defense. In fact, I bet Mike Rose, the linebacker out of Iowa State, I bet he sticks.
Man, Mike Rose, that's a guy that's definitely, if he makes his roster, he's going to play special teams. That's the kind of stuff he lives for. He operates super well in space. He's fluid for a 245-pound, you know, guy that has some length. So whether he's playing special teams, whether he's making plays on that side of the ball, or I think there's a chance he might start to eke into some of those dime reps. I think he talked about in his presser learning how to call plays. That was something he did say. That was something he wanted to do for this team. He's a guy that could leak into that dime role. And there's a guy that has a lot of coverage reps. He played in the slot at Iowa State at 245 pounds a lot. He did a lot of coverage stuff, dropping into deep zone, shallow zone, playing man-to-man coverage. Not a ton of experience in the box, but if you want to look for a guy that's going to one-to-one replace Ben Demon as a four-core special teamer and as a dime linebacker that's smart, that kind of understands football and has some coverage chops, Mike Rose is a guy that can absolutely stick to this football team.
Yeah, he may not have a ton of experience in the box, but if you are getting experience in the tee box, go check out Styx Golf. Look, I am a guy that fell in love with golf in the last 2 years, and Styx was exactly what I was looking for when I was looking for my next set of clubs in my golf journey. They have been an absolutely wonderful set. It's my second set that I've got, and the performance on them will blow you away. I promise you, they're the best value in golf. You can get a really quality set of clubs, and you can get them at a discount, KCSN10, when you go to styx.golf. We'll get you 10% off your next set of clubs. You will not regret it. I have not regretted it, and we will not regret talking about Mike Rose in May, because that is a guy, Mike Rose out of Iowa State, I bet he sticks. I mean, like, here's the thing. We put like a fourth or a fifth round grade on him in the KCSN draft guide. He's a big guy. Like, he meets that fourth round grade. He has that requisite. I'm trying to figure out why he didn't get drafted. Like, I'm trying to understand why he didn't
I've gotten get this question. And since, you know, I did his write up, I feel like I can come up with this. He's a 245 pound linebacker that didn't run particularly well. I think he ran around a 4.7, maybe a little bit higher at a pro day, and has legitimately played less than like 100 career snaps as a box defender. He played the Dorian O'Daniel role without being as good of an athlete. But here's the thing. He was good at it. Like, right. Like, he was good at it. And you're not talking about, I don't want to talk down about Brent Venables' defense, but sometimes there's certain positions in that defense that can be hidden. They can be given the, you're an athlete, go run around role. that seems to where O'Daniel lived. Mike Rose had to do a lot more for the Iowa State defense, that three safety stuff that is constantly switching around for Matt Campbell and everything. I think he understands football. He understands coverage. He just understands the concepts a little bit better. But you're looking at a big, not elite athlete linebacker that never played in the box, that's only a coverage guy that runs about a 4.7. It's maybe a hard guy. You're kind of trying to fit a square peg into a little bit of a round hole. But like, you had 6'4", 245 pounds, over 33-inch arms.
I mean, come on.
Big, long linebacker that had like 4 or 5 interceptions last year. I was saying, a short year.
That's Steve Spagnuolo's music. I don't know if you guys are listening, but that's Steve Spagnuolo's music right now. Like, he's full of, I'm sure that when Mike Rose hit undrafted free agency, the first guy that Steve Spagnuolo was telling Brett Veach, you got to go get that guy right there. I need that guy. And it just makes it smart dude, long, really big, has some coverage skills. They need a guy like that on this roster. We talked about Mike Rose before. It just makes sense because he offers something to this team that they don't currently have while still fitting, you know, the size and length profiles that Steve Spagnuolo typically wants from his linebacking core. They got the athletes there. They've got guys like that. We obviously all hope that Willie Gay Jr. is taking that dime role. Maybe Leo Chanel is going to take that Sam role. Mike Rose is going to be one of those dudes that's just going to float around, play special teams, and maybe eke himself into some dime linebacker or some coverage reps there. That makes your linebacking core better, having a guy like that that can fit into a Steve Spagnuolo scheme where he doesn't have to rely on, you know, a 4-5 athlete all the time, even though they've got a couple of them. But, you know, they don't have to rely on a guy like that to play coverage and call the middle of the defense.
Well, it's like, I mean, okay, so a big, long, decent athlete that has coverage chops. Like, what are we, like, I just, when you simplify it down to that, like, okay, I'll look, Mike Rose's relative athletic score. Do you know what it was, Matthew?
I have no idea, but given his size, like, I don't think it would be bad. Like, I don't think it would be a bad score. I think we're looking at probably in the eights.
It was a 9.07 relative athletic score. He had a 4.2 short shuttle, a sub 7.3 cone.
Maybe he's an edge rusher.
I mean, he's almost there with the size.
Him and
I mean,
Leo are just going to keep bulking up.
I mean, yeah, okay, Leo's like, got to add some length to those arms.
Steve Spagnuolo covets this size and density in his front seven, but this guy can actually cover, and he has length to disrupt the passing lanes, and did. Oh, and he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Like, things just don't completely add up to me with Mike Rose and why he didn't get drafted. I'm sorry.
I agree. No, I agree. I gave you my best explanation, but I had a fourth round grade on him, so I certainly don't understand how he ended up undrafted. And like, that's a fourth round that normally would he probably was in around the top 100 players for us. Like, he's probably pretty close to a top 100 grade overall, being a fourth round grade, maybe, you know, top 120 ish. So I don't get it either. It's just my best explanation is he's a guy that didn't play in the box a lot, that didn't run super fast in today's day and age.
Even then, though, I think you take a round seven on him because he's a special teams. I think he's a special teams ace.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, you look at this. I'm going to say something that's going to sound ridiculously preposterous right now, but Groves makes the roster. Do the Chiefs have the most athletic linebacking core in the league? It's certainly up there.
It's got to be up there.
All of a sudden, I know people are going to look at that and go, "Oh, you know, well, they lost Dorian O'Daniel." Dorian O'Daniel was a 7.42 relative athletic score. 7.42, and it was
his athleticism was always a little overhyped.
It was
because
a little
weighed 12 pounds.
I was going to say weighed 223 pounds. Yeah, he was fast as hell on his shuttle and three cone were elite. Don't get me wrong, but he didn't have great explosion. He wasn't a very heavy guy. I mean, he was his weight at 223, like that is teeny tiny. The Chiefs have these very dense athletes at the second level. All of a sudden, it's a weird thing to say coming off of a Steve Spagnuolo, linebacker group, as recently as 3 years ago, where we were looking at, we're like, man, none of these guys can run with anybody. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about three guys that can run with a lot of guys, not everybody in the league, certainly, but like Mike Rose can run with a tight end. Like, he's perfectly capable of running and covering a tight end here. And then you got Willie and Leo Chanel that can run with running backs. I mean, it's wild to think about what the Chiefs have done with the athleticism at linebacker.
Well, think of how much that could help Nick Bolton, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you're surrounding him with some length and some athleticism across the board, that's really going to do wonders for him and let him continue to have a lot of success doing what he's very good at. And maybe not asking him to do as much as some of these other guys might be able to do from the coverage perspective. Like, that could really help complete that group. Now, Leo Chanel's got to get better in coverage.
He does.
But
I mean,
Yeah,
think about it. You got two guys on the outside of Nick Bolton that can cover more ground. Nick Bolton doesn't have to cover as much ground in the middle of the field if that happens. And that's, that's a net positive for him. Everybody. So, it's great.
Did you have more, Maddie? I thought you looked like you're about to jump in.
I was going to ask. We kind of got off offense, but I wanted to ask if there was any more offensive players we want to talk about. I mean, like, I think Darian Kennard's playing right tackle, right? Like, we all feel pretty confident that he is at least starting his Chiefs career as a right tackle. I don't think there's any way to say things are going well, not well, anything about that. It's just a guy. He's going to play right tackle, right? That's a right tackle competition move right there. I don't know if that says something specifically about Lucas Niang's outlook or health or team standing with him, but you are now adding at least another body into that right tackle battle.
All right. I think there's another offensive player that we probably need to talk about really quick before we get out of here. And it's a guy that was listed as a running back wide receiver and kind of had a unique skill set. And I put a very draftable grade on, which is why I bet he sticks. It's Jerrion Ealy, the running back out of Ole Miss. And look, he's kind of a unique player. I don't think he's your traditional between the tackles type running back. But when you put him out in space, he did a lot of impressive things. And he's coming from Ole Miss, where they gave him a little bit of opportunity to catch the football, got to do a little stuff out of the backfield there. But when you put this kind of guy in space, he's dynamic and he can make people miss. There's some, your ears are perking up maybe a little bit from a special teams perspective. Maybe there's some ability there in the return game that he could potentially develop. Brett Veach is talking about how, hey, a lot of these skill players should be able to track the football, catch the football securely, and make some guys miss in space. That this is a guy that has that kind of ability. He's kind of a gadget player, but the Chiefs have found ways to utilize gadget players like this in the past, which is why maybe he got that running back wide receiver designation similar to a DeAnthony Thomas. Only this is DeAnthony Thomas and as an undrafted free agent, a unique player that could potentially carve out a specific role with his unique skill set. Jerrion Ealy, the running back out of Ole Miss, I bet he sticks. If you're looking for golf clubs, you should be looking at Sticks Golf Clubs. They are an outstanding product. They are, a high performing club that you're not going to find for that kind of price. It's just with the best value in golf. You've probably heard some people say that. It's true. They really are the best value in golf. My game has been noticeably better since I got Sticks Golf Clubs. So go to sticks.golf, promo code KCSN10, get your set of Sticks Golf Clubs. You will not regret it. Jerry and Ely.
Buddy.
What?
You sticks in my heart.
Oh, thanks. That was terrible. I bet. I bet you.
Kudos to you for sticksing with the bit.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm team sticks all the way, man. I am this weekend. I'm going on a golf trip. That's how much I've gotten into golf and how much I've gotten into these six golf clubs, which have performed wonderfully this year. At St. Andrews when me and BJ went, at Bally High. I played Firekeeper in Topeka a couple weeks ago. It was awesome. So, yeah. And you guys, any thoughts on Jerry Neely?
He was fun at Ole Miss. We'll see what it translates to. Okay. Here's a guy that I could see playing special teams a little bit. If you wanted to force in a DeAnthony Thomas-like roster spot for a guy that is only playing special teams that can count as a running back or a wide receiver, depending on how you want the numbers to look, he's a dark horse for that exact reason. I mean, legitimately, that's the only reason I think he makes the team, but it's an option, right? Like that is one option.
I mean, he did have, some success, as a kick returner. We've seen Dave Tobe carve out that role for guys, and we've seen him kind of testing some guys. I mean, Pacheco caught some of those. They've talked to a couple different guys about returning kicks. I could see a guy that's just a dedicated back for that purpose, potentially making the squad for that. And I mean, he's a hell of one. So, I mean, like he was all SEC for it. And that's hard to do. There's a whole bunch of really good athletes. So you look at a guy like that, you look at the body type, you think about, okay, there's a potential gunner. There's a potential guy that can return some kicks as well. And, I just think that, I think he makes some sense. When we start counting the numbers game, as I just talked about a little bit earlier in the show, when we start cutting the numbers game and the offensive contributions to special teams, I think we expect that they're going to keep a lot of offensive linemen again, especially a lot of, tackles, giving a lot of guys an opportunity there. They're going to keep a lot of receivers. We know that they're going to keep a lot of tight ends. They seem to really like this tight end room. So keeping an extra running back just for return capability is going to be rough when you know that you've got to keep some extra guys on the defensive roster, kind of at the bottom of it to round out the rest of your special teams.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about the offensive side of the ball. Probably should focus a little bit on the defensive side too, Matt. Any thoughts that you got coming out of the camp?
Yeah, we talked about some defensive backs up top. You're not going to get a lot of DB stuff coming from a rookie mini camp. They're not going to show you many clips of that. They can't really go one-on-one. Like, there's not a lot you can do. But the rumors, the grapevine, George Karlaftis and Malik Herring were apparently completely unblockable in the drill type stuff they were allowed to do, which I believe is team stuff. Like, Andy Reid said they had to get George Karlaftis to slow down. His motor was running too hot, which I am not shocked by.
Yeah, you're not surprised at all.
Right. I don't mean this either way. It wasn't that he was so good that they couldn't do anything. It was just he was trying so much harder than a lot of other people were because that's who he is. They had to get him to slow down. Now, I've seen some of the clips. We've seen some of the stuff. It sounds like he was pretty impressive. It sounds like he did stand out. Now, part of that was maybe going 110% for a rookie camp. But also Malik Herring, a second-year player out of Georgia, was also apparently looking quite well down there. That kind of makes sense for I believe he was a senior, maybe even a super senior or fifth-year guy out of Georgia when he came out. Now he's got another year in the NFL strength and conditioning program. Like, it kind of makes sense that he would look physically better than some other guys, but those two guys apparently stood out quite a bit in this camp. I mean, that's good news if you're a Chiefs fan, I think.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, Malik Herring is a big dude. He's 6'3", 280. He's a big old dude. It was more of a rotational guy at Georgia, but,
with Trevon Walker before Trevon Walker.
Right? Yeah, he was a little bit. But, I mean,
he's a bad athlete, Trevon Walker.
Right. Yeah, he kind of was. And, I mean, that looking at sacks at Georgia is like, you don't, just don't do that. Don't try and do that. The way that they rotate those guys, that's not what you should look at there. But I thought he was a very productive player. I thought he was a pretty decent run defender, you know, for an edge position. So I was always looking at Malik Herring's maybe a, you know, sort of a base down kind of guy. But now you've got George Karlaftis. And of course, my man is going 110%. Like you turn on his tape, that's the thing that jumps out at you immediately. Whether, you know, whatever you're looking for, it's hard to look past the fact that he just doesn't quit. You know, he's always going 100% of the time. And yeah, you know, we see some of that stuff where he's rocking guys with his hands a little bit. I 1000% believe that he and Leo Chanel are throwing hands at full speed at these guys without pads on. I really do. I think that they're so amped to be in here that they're probably fully throwing hands at some of these offensive linemen that they're coming up against. I would really like to know if we got to see Darian Kennard versus George Karlaftis, like the two of them just gradually pissing each other off more and more and more. I think that's a really good competition there. And I think that brings out a little bit more of the competitive nature. We know some of the defensive players on this team are going to show up. They're going to talk, even in training camp. They're going to raise the level of competition. I think George Karlaftis is going to show up and do it as well. We see sometimes these rookies come in, you know, these guys that are really trying hard, you know, veterans kind of just brush them off or something like that. You know, I mean, you're not making the team, rook or whatever. George Karlaftis is making the team. This is a first round draft pick. So he's going to get a much longer leash with those guys. I fully believe that he's going to get a much longer leash with the rest of the players on the team. So it might be a little bit contagious, and it just makes me more excited for camp.
Oh, camp's going to be insane this year because there's going to be so much energy and hype around guys that we really all haven't had a chance to get eyes on. I mean, and just the overall complexion of this team, and it's a very competitive roster because there's gonna be a lot of young, hungry guys fighting for opportunities to make this 53-man roster. And Malik Herring is one of those guys. Like I think he's, you know, I think the Chiefs very obviously had intentions of trying to keep him around because they strategically kind of held him back last year to try to hold him and give him that, kind of redshirt year. They did the same thing, I believe, with like a Tim Ward and a Darius Harris, guys that they've tried to hold on to in some capacity. It's the same thing with Malik Herring. And Malik Herring had some relatively big fans last year in last year's draft. Maybe not, you know, high day two, but like some people had some late day two love for him, some, you know, early day three love for him. He wound up going undrafted with his injury. And yeah, I mean, maybe the Chiefs wind up being the benefactor. He certainly is a big guy out there on the edge. So that's definitely someone to keep an eye on. Anybody else that you want to talk about, Matty, or is that about it?
I think it's about it. You're not going to get much out of linebackers. Kind of like DBs, you're not going to get much out of linebackers. Brian Cook, similar to Sky Moore, was limited because of a shoulder injury. I will say this, though. Brian Cook's going to play a lot of special teams reps, number one. Uh-huh. And number two, that's a big old safety right there.
Yeah.
Like, Brian Cook is a big, so if you look at that team photo, he's right there on the end, and he's taking up a lot of space for a safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's lining up on the second level, there's going to be a lot of times as I'm watching the defense before I get used to his number that I'm going to be like, which linebacker is that again? Because he's a big dude.
Right. And like, I mean, Willie's at 240-ish, 245. Nick Bolton's at 240-ish. Leo Chanel's at 260 apparently right now, according to their thing. And then you got Brian Cook, who's listed at 210, which is still a lot for a modern safety. And he looked a bit bigger than that. It's like, that's a lot of dude in the middle of the Chiefs defense and a lot of guys that are explosive and can run. So like, that's fun. But I think that's probably all I have from rookie minicamp, unless you guys have something else.
No, I know you want to play a game and I'm scared.
Oh, so, yeah. Game's a loose word. It's a game-like thing. There's no right or wrong answers, I don't believe.
You'll find a way to make my answer wrong.
I'm going to win.
Craig's going to win.
Okay, so it's now a game. We are going to play the Chiefs 2019 draft game, and you guys are going to tell me what the outlook is for each one of these players as they enter their contract year. Now, the reason this is kind of fun right now is because early this week, Brett Veach got on with Florio, and they were talking about Mecole Hardman's current contract situation and how they really hadn't tried to negotiate much because they were going to wait till the end of the year. And that's smart by Mecole Hardman and his agent's camp. If this is the case, I'm not saying true, false, because wide receiver contracts are, you know, going wild.
Yeah.
Presumably his usage will rise now. Mecole Hardman also tweeted out tonight in response to a poll asking if he should be extended that the results, you know, said that the Chiefs shouldn't. He said, please repost the same poll in the middle of the year and we'll see how the results change. So he feels like fans are going to want him back. So we're starting with Mecole Hardman, taken 56th overall as the Chiefs traded up to get him in the 2019 draft. The Chiefs have not only signed two free agent wide receivers to potentially start or play significant snaps this season, they drafted Sky Moore, who likely is going to play in a similar capacity in similar areas as Mecole Hardman, and they did it with an even earlier pick in this particular draft. So what do we think the outlook is for Mecole Hardman moving forward beyond this season?
I think that he's going to have a similar stat line to last year. I think he's going to get more opportunities. I don't think that Sky Moore is going to come in day one and have those same sort of, you know, reps that Tyreek Hill has now abandoned here. I think we're going to see Mecole Hardman get an initial crack at it. That doesn't mean that Sky Moore won't play. He's definitely going to play. But I think Mecole Hardman's going to get the same sort of touches that we've seen him turn into, you know, a couple of decent yardage seasons now. And I think we're going to see him operate, you know, a little bit more on those goes, deep overs, things like that, that we've seen Tyreek Hill run as well. And I can see avenues to where teams maybe try and focus on some of the other guys, try and focus on Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, maybe even Marquez Valdez-Scantling, or try and load the box if the Chiefs are running. I can see Mecole Hardman getting free a couple more times just because, not that he's an afterthought by any means, but he's not going to command the same attention that a Tyreek Hill will. So maybe he gets open a few more times. I actually expect him to have a pretty decent little stat line this season, even if he doesn't get the same number of targets.
So, Kent, do you think, one, that it means anything that the Chiefs went out and immediately took a wide receiver that's going to play in the same space as him going forward? And two, what do you think his outlook is beyond the 2022 season with the Chiefs?
Beyond 2022, I don't think he's a Chief in 2023. I think this team is managing and navigating the wide receiver market differently than they were 3 months ago or 2 months ago when Tyreek Hill left. I do think he's going to have a strong year. I think he's going to have his second best yards per catch of his career. So he had 20.7 in 2019, 13.7 in 2020, and 11.7 in 2021. I think someone's going to look at him, and he's going to average 16, 17 yards per catch this year. Maybe not as much manufactured touches, but some more opportunities down the field. And I think he's going to get paid decently by some team that wants a more vertical stretch type player. And I mean, he's going to price himself out of Kansas City. Probably. I think he winds up with 700 yards again. I don't think the Chiefs pay him. I think that he goes and finds somewhere else.
I could see a similar sort of scenario to MVS in Green Bay, that they let him walk.
That's a good comp.
Now, I think that Mecole Hardman, based on what has happened to the wide receiver contract after the Chiefs, market after the Chiefs have signed MVS, I think Mecole Hardman's going to get paid more. But
well,
I can definitely
he'll be younger too. I mean, he'll be 25 during free agency next year, and so that'll help him too. I think he'll get paid
and a little bit healthier than MVS. So I mean, like, I can definitely see him coming out, and much like the Packers let MVS walk, I can see the Chiefs saying, listen, we're just not interested in playing in that market with you. You know, good luck. Go make your money. Like Charvarius Ward this past year. Not, you know, they may like him, but they may not like him that much.
So you guys don't think that drafting a wide receiver that is also going to play in the same general roles means anything? Like, I'm not saying you guys said that. Just, does that mean anything to you guys? That they came out and spent a top 54 pick on Sky Moore, who's going to play plenty out of the slot. And when he is lined up outside, it's going to be as a flanker, as a Z wide receiver, which are the areas where Mecole Hardman is going to play.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I think he's gone. I think Mecole's gone. Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely
100%
matters.
And I think he's gone. I think.
And I can see Sky Moore taking more and more of those reps as the season goes along for certain. I mean, he talked about it. Sky Moore talked about in his presser, you know, at rookie minicamp about how, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I got to adjust to here at the NFL level in Andy Reid's scheme. I think that they'll lean on Mecole early for a lot of the snaps.
And Sky Moore talked a lot about details. I'll tell you what, he might be more detailed than Mecole Hardman is, even though Mecole Hardman's been in the NFL for three years.
He's holding himself to a really high standard here. Maybe that's all that is. But I do see a scenario where Mecole Hardman gets more of the snaps because he's been in the offense for a long
time. I think it'll start that way. I just wanted to, and so I mean, continuing this trend, Juan Thornhill, a safety taking in round two at pick 63 overall. The Chiefs just took Brian Cook, a safety out of Cincinnati, at pick 62 overall, so one pick earlier. What do we think the addition of Brian Cook means for Juan Thornhill moving forward? What is the pick, Kent? What does Brian Cook's addition at the same general draft spot as Brian Cook from the 2019 draft stop draft mean for Juan Thornhill this year?
It means it hits his last year in Kansas City, and I think it's going to really put him in a very difficult bind to get opportunities here. It seems like there has been some diminishing opportunities for Juan Thornhill. It doesn't seem like he has been able to get the same kind of opportunities and be able to play the way he was before his injury. Ever since his injury, things have not gone the way that, you know, he probably hoped or the Chiefs hoped. And I don't know the underlying issues that would have kept him off the field. He doesn't look like the same level of athlete that he used to. That's probably a little bit of it. He doesn't look like the same guy as consistently as he used to. Not the best tackler. Like, those are some things that probably are playing into that factor here. And so I think he could lose some opportunities to Brian Cook, a guy who is going to tackle.
I think that there is a high chance that Juan Thornhill, by the middle of the year, is back to just that dime safety role. Steve Spagnuolo has, over the past 2 years, when healthy even, has consistently tried to replace Juan Thornhill with Dan Sorensen. Brian Cook is a better player than Dan Sorensen. So I don't know if he's going to be able to get the mental side of it down at the NFL level and the speed of the game down as quickly, but I can see with the way that they've talked about Brian Cook and his intelligence and the way that we've seen him, you know, stay deeper than the deepest and, you know, read routes out of bunches and everything like that. Like, and the tackling ability, I can see Steve Spagnuolo saying, that guy's going to be playing in my nickel, period. I need him to play in my nickel. I can see Juan Thornhill being relegated to a dime role, which, you know, all but spells the end of his, you know, time in Kansas City in 2023 and beyond.
Okay, so I find something a little interesting here just knowing you guys. I got one more player I do want to get to, but I got to touch on this. We as a group, but it's you two, since you guys are answering here, I know you guys like Juan Thornhill's game as a safety when you like Mecole Hardman's game as a wide receiver. I also know you like Sky Moore's game as a receiver than you like Brian Cook's game as a safety. How come we feel like Brian Cook is going to eat more into Juan Thornhill than Sky Moore will eat into Mecole Hardman's snaps and production on the year?
I can say this explicitly. Andy Reid trusts Mecole Hardman more than Steve Spagnuolo trusts Juan Thornhill. I'm not saying it's a high bar to clear. Right. I'm just saying, you know, Steve Spagnuolo stuck with Dan Sorensen through arguably the worst stretch in his career. And that was for a reason, because we saw Juan out there. It's not like he was limping through. There was something that wasn't happening. I don't want to speculate. I don't know what it is. And maybe whatever it was has been cleared up between the two this offseason, and maybe that changes. But the last thing that we really knew of last year, it took Dan Sorensen just consistently playing so badly that they could not leave him on the field over Juan Thornhill. It wasn't anything that Juan Thornhill was doing on the field, because he was fine. Dan Sorensen was playing so poorly, and they still chose him over Juan.
Well, I think the Juan Thornhill that we all got excited about isn't there anymore to some level, too. And it's sad. It is sad. I mean, he looked like on the verge, like, he looked like an extra first round pick. in his rookie year. Towards the end of his rookie year, he was outstanding, and then the injury happened. And so there's a little bit of that. It's hard to play as a rookie in Andy Reid's offense too. Like, there's a little bit of that. Like, there's a lot of factors here at play that I mean, it's not a great apples to apples comparison. Because I do agree. I do agree. Like, you know, I like Sky Moore better than I like Brian Cook. You know, so
right, no, and that's just, I just wanted you guys to expand on that, because I'm sitting here and like, I get what Craig is absolutely saying in terms of the trust that somebody may or may not have in Juan Thornhill. I also look at the Chiefs getting Byron Pringle as involved as humanly possible over Mecole Hardman. And sure. I look at them relying on DeMarcus Robinson in specific.
Sure.
You're telling me that Mecole Hardman can't go right up and run a post corner on a cornerback with his speed, but they trust DeMarcus Robinson to do it? Like, there's a lot of situations.
Who ran one of the best post corners in the league.
I'm just saying, we're saying that Andy trusts Hardman more, but like, does he though? We saw his role reduced down the stretch to a very efficient role, but it was highly limited. It was a lot less than every other receiver was doing. Yeah. I just don't know how much they trust him. I want to do a quick one. Rashad Fenton taken in round 6, 201st overall. Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Izzy Johnson, Lonnie Johnson. A lot of corners brought in quickly, because there is one in cap to this game. So quickly, what do we think Fenton's role is this year, Craig? Kent, you'll tell me what this outlook is going forward.
I think he's going to play serious snaps early. There's too many young bodies. And as we had talked about earlier this week, you know, talking about James Bradbury, I think Rashad Fenton's got the inside track towards playing for this team. What remains to be seen is where he's going to play. We all like him on the boundary. It seems this team does not want him on the boundary. And if that's the case, and he's just playing in the slot, that's where it makes more sense to bring in Alonnie Johnson and Lajarius Sneed play a little more in the slot. So I think that, you know, at least initially, we're going to see him maybe play a little bit in the nickel, mostly in the dime when they bring on an extra defensive back, have him play more of like a safety role or something like that. But I think it will be a little more sparingly this year than we've seen him in previous years.
Well, and I think he's back next year in 2023, though. I think this is the kind of guy that, you know, you put him in the box. He's a stabilizer for your roster. Play some special teams. Hey, there's some special teams potentially for you right there, Maddie. I think he's a guy that you kind of hold on to. You try to hold on to a little bit. Consistent guy that, you know, that has played, you know, a decent amount of snaps for this football team. Kind of like Ben Neiman, Darrell Williams. Like, I think he goes on that similar trajectory. I think he signs a one-year deal. I think he's valuable to the Chiefs. I don't know how valuable he is across the board to every other NFL team, but I think he's a guy that makes a couple million dollars in 2023 as a member of this football team. I don't think it's a big contract, but it's probably like a one-year deal. And it's similar to how Ben Neiman, they kind of extended their stay a year. Seems like something the Chiefs have done. I think that's something that we could see. Like, that's the path I think Rashad Fenton's on.
For reference, though, if just special teams, he played by far his least amount of special teams reps last year. And I know
sure, but himself, like, I think this like year, 50. Yeah, but I think there's less offensive or less defensive burden this year.
No,
and I
he
think
can. That
gives him opportunities.
He absolutely can. He just definitely saw a downturn. Okay, so this is the end of it right here. You have to extend one of these guys for 3 years. You have to franchise tag one, so pay him 1 year a lot of money, and then you get to let one walk.
Oh, I'm this one's easy for me. I'm going to pay Juan Thornhill for 3 years and hope that he recaptures some of the athleticism. I am going to franchise tag Rashad Fenton. And I'm gonna let Mecole Hardman walk, because I think that the money that you have to allocate to Mecole Hardman in either a 3-year deal or on the tag is just gonna be so deep that I think that you let him walk and get the comp pick for him.
Oh
yeah.
Why we're gonna get so many people mad at us. Why would you put the franchise tag on Mecole Hardman? Oh man.
Because Maddie made us. That's why.
I'm gonna put the franchise tag on Juan Thornhill because it's the cheapest, probably.
Okay.
I'm gonna Maddie answer it. And I think that's the fine. Cheapest franchise tag. I'm going to extend Rashad Fenton, and I'm going to let Mecole walk.
Okay.
That's the cheapest route I think I can take in this game. Because I don't believe in any of them to be, I don't have a ton of belief that they're like cornerstones that you want to make big investments in. But like, I think that's the route you have to take.
Craig, the magician wins because he kept the better player for 3 years over the lesser player. So, I mean, that's the end of the game. I'm glad that we found a solution to this. I am happy that you guys participated in my little game here. I thank you all contestants for coming down. It was a joy to have you guys here, but the absolute correct answer was extending or re-signing Juan Thornhill to a 3-year deal, franchise tagging Rashad Fenton for one more season, and then letting Mecole Hardman walk. So appreciate it.
Why don't you just close this thing out then, Maddie? Just you close this out today.
I'll tell you what. I think that I should close it out just like our good pals at Macadoodles are going to close out every liquor store in Kansas City when they come to Lee's Summit, Missouri this summer. The best selection, best prices, the best customer service. Our pals at Macadoodles have it all, just like I have it all after winning Maddie's game. That's going to do it for the KC Laboratory. Thank you all for joining us. Like, share, subscribe, give us 5 stars on Apple or Spotify, and we will be back with a scheduled preview show after it releases on Thursday.